And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.fm. Pat 40, he's at Yahoo 40 on Twitter. He is the college sports columnist for Yahoo Sports. He does an excellent job. He joins us now on the Morning Blitz. Pat, how's it going today, man?
Doing fine, thanks. Good to be with y'all.
I appreciate you joining us today. So I want to start with what is probably the biggest story in the country right now, and that is Jameis Winston. What do you make of the whole situation that's happened over the past really year and a half, 2 years at Florida State with Jameis Winston?
Well, it's been as as bizarre, I guess, as interesting as anything I've covered in college sports. If you go back to the kid's first game as the starting quarterback, national TV Labor Day night, 25 of 27 on the road against an ACC opponent, and right then and there, it's like the Jameis Savior machinery just got flying in Tallahassee, and he lived up to it. I mean, won 14 straight games last year. He has never lost as a college starting quarterback. He wins the Heisman Trophy, but it's everything else that has at times made you forget all of the stuff about how good he is. And, you know, I think there has been, he has been not just slow to learn, he's refused to learn from his mistakes. His school has not made him learn from his mistakes until finally sitting him down last Saturday. And, I think there's just been an enabling culture around him. And, we've seen some bad side effects from that. And we'll see, you know, going forward, I'm not listening to him anymore with the, I've learned my lesson stuff. You know, he's had enough chances to learn his lesson. Now we'll just have to see if he can actually just not screw up and not be an idiot for the rest of the year.
Speaking with Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports right now, we'll stick to the national theme. Is this a down year across college football, especially with all the SEC quarterbacks last year seemingly leaving the conference? Is this just a down year in general across college football, or no?
I don't know. I don't think so, really, Megan. You know, I think it's going to be, in the end, all as good as most years. I'm looking at Texas A&M and I'm dazzled by what they've done. The SEC West in general is unbelievable. I think the Pac-12 is still very good, maybe not quite as good as I thought it was going to be going into the year. Oklahoma's good, Baylor's good, and Florida State's fascinating to me. So, I don't know whether, we're going to have great teams, but I think we got really interesting storylines, interesting players, interesting matchups going the rest of the way.
Last year, the guy in college football, the main character, was Johnny Manziel. This year, you could make the argument that it is Jameis Winston, but like you pointed out, he kind of takes that away from himself. So, to you, who is that main character in college football this year?
Well, I think the best player is Marcus Mariota at Oregon. Just a fabulous quarterback, an amazing athlete, and an amazing quarterback technician. You know, he's super efficient and accurate throwing the ball. He makes great decisions. And unlike the previous two Heisman winners, he is refreshingly boring. In general, we don't like boring people from a media standpoint, but after all of the knucklehead shenanigans we've seen, I think it is nice to have a guy who basically does nothing and says nothing, but just plays football. Very nice guy, but very bland, and maybe we're ready for some bland.
And once again, we're joined by Pat 40 here on the Morning Blitz on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.fm. I want to get back into the Jameis Winston thing with you here for just a moment, and we'll get to Mizzou's devastating loss in a second as well. But Jameis comes out onto the field in pregame warmups dressed as if he's going to play. How does that happen? How does that get by the coaching staff? How does that get by the training? How does he come onto the field in pads and in pants and that happens? How does that all take place?
To me, that almost puts this in that next realm of I cannot believe it. You know what I mean? Where I wonder if Jameis really thought, if we get behind, they'll play me. They'll play me, you know? Or somebody said, Jameis may think that he'd be a guy that thinks no means maybe. That certainly it's on the equipment staff for putting a pair of football pants with pads in it in his locker. you know, all right, his shoulder pads, his helmet are probably always going to be there. But what's usually not there, the equipment staff will come and put your game day uniform and your pads, your pants with pads in your locker. So why did they do that if he's going to play? Now, they probably thought Jameis would be smart enough to not put them on, but there it was. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher, who I don't think has handled himself terribly well throughout all this, but one in his defense, he's got the other 85 guys to get ready for this game. He's not thinking about the guy that isn't going to play until he turns around and sees him there and that priceless reaction on his face, like, oh, my God, would you please go take those off? You know, but that, to me, it's like one more example of the just complete disconnect from reality there.
Can you remember a player this good and this well-known that's been kind of the villain in college football, a quarterback that's truly, like, people root against him? Because I don't know of anybody around the nation that was really rooting for Florida State in that game outside of Florida State fans. Can you remember anything like this where we just vilified a quarterback, and in all honesty, for good reason?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I mean, Manziel was vilified to a large degree, but Manziel's stuff was not, you know, it was just kind of stupid kid stuff. And you could say the same thing about Winston, except it's like he's taken it to that next level. And there was, you know, the sexual assault investigation, which is ongoing through Title IX at the university, is a significant deal. And while that's going on, that's what makes the, you know, some of his actions just mind-boggling. You know, going back before that, you probably have to go back to the Miami Hurricanes. It wasn't just a player then, it was the program. And some people love the Hurricanes, but a lot of people love to hate the Hurricanes. You know, but that again, that wasn't a single player as a lightning rod. That was an entire program. So it is very unique in college to have somebody that's in this role that Jameis Winston's in.
Speaking with Pat Forty on the Morning Blitz, college sports columnist for Yahoo Sports, Mizzou. All right. I don't know. I don't really know if there's a proper way to phrase this question other than just tell me what happened. What do you make of that loss to Indiana of all universities?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any of it because I was covering Florida and Alabama. But I mean, that's a bad loss. Indiana had just given up 45 points to Bowling Green and lost at home to Bowling Green. Then you turn around. My guess, and it's just a guess, after having won at Indiana easily, after starting this year 3-0, playing well, starting to listen to the hype a little bit, oh, Missouri might be the best team in the SEC East, that there was a flat disregard of Indiana as a potential team that could beat them. And I guarantee that didn't start with Gary Pinkle, but sometimes it is hard to coach a team out of that mindset if the players just think, oh, we got this, you know, and that's my guess. And Missouri is not a program that's good enough to go into any game with "we got this." I mean, that's not who Missouri football has been or is. So it's probably a lesson well learned, I would imagine, going into SEC play. Now, you know, they're going to have to play better defensively and, you know, eliminate some mistakes. But it's not something that keeps Missouri from winning the SEC East, at least.
If this was inevitable, and if the offensive line was just going to go into shambles at some point during the year, if the running game was going to struggle because of that and Matty Mock wasn't going to have any time, if that was all going to take place at some point this year, whether it's against South Carolina or Georgia or Indiana as it happened, is it good that it happened this early in the season and that it happened to the non-conference opponents? That way they could get things figured out. They could switch up the depth chart as they did this week and hopefully get this figured out before going into conference play?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, maybe I'm too much of a realist, but I never thought Missouri was going undefeated. So if you're going to lose, better to lose out of conference and keep your chances of winning the SEC East alive. You know, I look at the East, I don't think anybody's that great. I think Georgia's still probably the best team, then South Carolina. But, you know, I think Missouri can beat Florida. I think Missouri can beat Tennessee. I think Missouri can beat Kentucky, can beat Vanderbilt. And then we'll see what happens in the other two games. You know, so I think they're going to have a shot at it if they learn from this, if they play better, if they get the right players on the field.
Pat Forty of Yahoo, college sports columnist for Yahoo and at Yahoo 40 on Twitter. Speaking of the SEC, is it wide open? Who do you like and dislike in the entire conference, both East and West?
I mean, right now, I think Texas A&M deserves to be the number one team in the country. I've said that. I've written that. What they did at South Carolina is dazzling to me. I was there, and, you know, I've seen what South Carolina's done since then. They've done nothing wrong. They've beaten good teams. So that victory just gets better, in my opinion. You know, they got to go to Tuscaloosa. That's going to be really difficult. I still think Auburn's going to be in the mix. They didn't play well at all against Kansas State, but they won the game. So, you know, I think probably those three teams. But I have said all along, Mississippi State was my dark horse in the SEC. I really liked them coming into the year. Like what they've done with Dak Prescott. They have Texas A&M and Auburn back-to-back weeks in Starkville, October 4 and 11. I bet they win one of those.
Once again, we're joined here by Pat Forty on the Morning Blitz on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Last question here for you, Pat. If you had to guess right now, Mizzou has South Carolina this weekend, and then they have Georgia 2 weeks from now. What do they get at record-wise in those two games? Do they split them? Do they go 2-0? What's your prediction for those two games?
I'm going to be optimistic and say they go 1-1. You know, I think they can win one of them. Who, you know, I think South Carolina's more vulnerable, but you got to play them there. So that's difficult. They got to figure out a way to stop Todd Gurley. That's the big thing with, Todd Gurley's backups are really good too at Georgia. So I'm going to say they get one of the two. That's the optimist alone in me. Perhaps the realist should say 0-2, but I'm saying 1-1.
And I lied to you. I got one more question as a follow-up here. If they do go 1-1 in that stretch, what do you think their chances are of winning the SEC East?
Well, they'll definitely have a shot at it. Like I said, if you can win the rest of them, if you can somehow be 7-1, now, of course, they've got to play Texas A&M. They've got to play an Arkansas team that sure doesn't look like any pushover. 6-2 can win the SEC East, can at least get a share of the SEC. So if they can get to 6-2, I think they get a share of it.
He's Pat Forty. He is a college sports columnist for Yahoo Sports. He's on Twitter at Yahoo Forty. He does excellent work at both places. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure, y'all. Come see the Missouri swim team next Friday, October 3rd, in action. First meet of the year.
Well, thank you so much. We will be sure to go and check that out. I know you have a child.
Mitchell Forty
on that team. So thanks once again for joining us. He's Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports.